Welcome to the podcast, Move Forth with Grace. We will be reading the whole Bible in the year 2024. This is such a perfect way to get into God's Word each day and to develop your own relationship with God our Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. I am your host, Angela, and want to first of all say that I am not an expert in theology or church history or a minister, and I never will claim to be. I am a wife and mother who has been reborn and want to be of service to God in gratitude for calling me back home. Welcome to the podcast. The Bible that I will be reading from is the One Year Bible. It is a New Living Translation, and you can find one at www.tyndale.com. This episode is brought to you by the Move Forth brand. It encompasses freedom, health, and God's grace. We are created in God's image perfectly and fearfully and wonderfully. There is nothing that we can do or need to do to earn His grace. He simply gives it to us. I am certified in health and life coaching, but no longer practice. However, I have health tips and resources, products that I love and use, homeschool tips, and merchandise available on my website, and that is www.move-forth.com. One of my favorite products on my website and that I use each day are stem cell activation patches. Stem cell therapy can be very costly and can produce results that are short-lived, which is why these patches are so brilliant and they're not considered to be stem cell therapy. They actually activate our own body's production of stem cells and support our health and well-being, all while optimizing our immune system. You can check those out on my website as well, www.move-forth.com. Thank you for being here. Thank you for becoming less like you and more like Jesus. May you move forth with grace today. All right, well, today is day 106, and we're going to be reading Joshua 13, 1 through 14, 15, Luke 18, 1 through 17, Psalm 85, 1 through 13, and Proverbs 13, 7 and 8. Let's go ahead and begin with our prayer today. Father, we thank you for this time in your word, in your presence. We pray for your guidance and your wisdom. We say this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua 13, 1 through 14, 15. When Joshua was an old man, the Lord said to him, "You are growing old, and much land remains to be conquered. This is the territory that remains. All the regions of the Philistines and the Geshurites, and the larger territory of the Canaanites extending from the stream of Shior on the border of Egypt, northward to the boundary of Ekron. It includes the territory of the five Philistine rulers of Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron. The land of the Avites in the south also remains to be conquered. In the north, the following area has not yet been conquered: all the land of the Canaanites, including Merah, which belongs to the Sidonians, stretching northward to Aphek on the border of the Amorites, the land of the Gebelites, and all of the Lebanon mountain area to the east from Baal Gad below Mount Hermon to Lebo Hamath, and all the hill country from Lebanon to Misrephothmaim, including all the land of the Sidonians. I myself will drive these people out of the land ahead of the Israelites, so be sure to give this land to Israel as a special possession, just as I have commanded you. Include all this territory as Israel's possession when you divide this land among the nine tribes and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Half the tribe of Manasseh and the tribes of Reuben and Gad had already received their grants of land on the east side of the Jordan, for Moses, the servant of the Lord, had previously assigned this land to them. Their territory extended from Aroer on the edge of the Arnon Gorge, including the town in the middle of the gorge, to the plain beyond Medeba as far as Dibon. It also included all the towns of King Sihon of the Amorites, who had reigned in Heshbon, and extended as far as the borders of Ammon. It included Gilead, the territory of the kingdoms of Geshur and Maacah, all of Mount Hermon, all of Bashan, as far as Salakah, and all the territory of King Og of Bashan, who had reigned in Ashtaroth and Edrei. King Og was the last of the Rephaites, for Moses had attacked them and driven them out. But the Israelites failed to drive out the people of Geshur and Maacah, so they continue to live among the Israelites to this day. Moses did not assign any allotment of land to the tribe of Levi. Instead, as the Lord had promised them, their allotment came from the offerings burned on the altar to the Lord, the God of Israel. Moses had assigned the following areas to the clans of the tribe of Reuben. Their territory extended from Aroer on the edge of the Arnon Gorge, including the town in the middle of the gorge, to the plain beyond Medeba. It included Heshbon and the other towns on the plain, Dibon, Bamoth-Baal, Beth-Baal-Meon, Jahaz, Kedemoth, Mephath, Kiriathim, Sibma, Zereth-Shahar, on the hill above the valley, Beth-Peor, the slopes of Pisgah, and Beth-Jeshimoth. The land of Reuben also included all the towns of the plain and the entire kingdom of Sion. Sion was the Amorite king who had reigned in Heshbon and was killed by Moses along with the leaders of Midian, Evi, Rechem, Zur, Hur, and Reba, princes living in the region who were allied with Sion. The Israelites had also killed Balaam, son of Beor, who used magic to tell the future. The Jordan River marked the western boundary for the tribe of Reuben. The towns and their surrounding villages in this area were given as a homeland to the clans of the tribe of Reuben. Moses had assigned the following area to the clans of the tribe of Gad. Their territory included Jazer, all the towns of Gilead, and half of the land of Ammon, as far as the town of Aroer, just west of Rabbah. It extended from Heshbon to Ramath-Mizpah and Betonim, and from Mahanaim to the territory of Lodebar. In the valley where Beth-Haram, Beth-Nimrah, Succoth, Zaphon, and the rest of the kingdom of King Sion of Heshbon. The western boundary ran along the Jordan River, extended as far north as the tip of the Sea of Galilee, and then turned eastward. The towns and their surrounding villages in this area were given as a homeland to the clans of the tribe of Gad. Moses had assigned the following area to the clans of the half-tribe of Manasseh. Their territory extended from Mahanaim, including all of Bashan, all the former kingdom of King Og, and the 60 towns of Jair in Bashan. It also included half of Gilead and King Og's royal cities of Ashtaroth and Edrei. All of this was given to the clans of the descendants of Machir, who was Manasseh's son. These are the allotments Moses had made while he was on the plains of Moab across the Jordan River east of Jericho. But Moses gave no allotment of land to the tribe of Levi, for the Lord, the God of Israel, had promised that he himself would be their allotment. The remaining tribes of Israel received land in Canaan as allotted by Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the tribal leaders. These 9.5 tribes received their grants of land by means of sacred lots in accordance with the Lord's command through Moses. Moses had already given a grant of land to the 2.5 tribes on the east side of the Jordan River, but he had given the Levites no such allotment. The descendants of Joseph had become 2 separate tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, and the Levites were given no land at all, only towns to live in with surrounding pasture lands for their livestock and all their possessions. So the land was distributed in strict accordance with the Lord's commands to Moses. A delegation from the tribe of Judah, led by Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, came to Joshua at Gilgal. Caleb said to Joshua, "Remember that the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me when we were at Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. I returned and gave an honest report, but my brothers who went with me frightened the people from entering the promised land. For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord, my God. So that day Moses solemnly promised me, 'The land of Canaan, on which you were just walking, will be your grant of land and that of your descendants forever, because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord, my God.' Now, as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well as he promised for all these 45 years since Moses made this promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Today, I am 85 years old. I am as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey, and I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. So give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. You will remember that as scouts, we found the descendants of Anak living there in great walled towns. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land, just as the Lord said." So Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave Hebron to him as his portion of land. Hebron still belongs to the descendants of Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite because he wholeheartedly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Previously, Hebron had been called Kiriath Arba. It had been named after Arba, a great hero of the descendants of Anak, and the land had rest from war. Luke 18:1-17. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests." Then the Lord said, "Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith?" Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer: "I thank you, God, that I am not like other people, cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I'm certainly not like the tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income." But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, "O God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." One day, some parents brought their little children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But when the disciples saw this, they scolded the parents for bothering him. Then Jesus called for the children and said to the disciples, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Psalm 85:1-13. For the choir director, a psalm of the descendants of Korah. Lord, you poured out blessings on your land. You restored the fortunes of Israel. You forgave the guilt of your people. Yes, you covered all their sins. You held back your fury. You kept back your blazing anger. Now restore us again, O God of our salvation. Put aside your anger against us once more. Will you be angry with us always? Will you prolong your wrath to all generations? Won't you revive us again so your people can rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. I listen carefully to what God the Lord is saying, for he speaks peace to his faithful people. But let them not return to their foolish ways. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him. So our land will be filled with his glory. Unfailing love and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth springs up from the earth, and righteousness smiles down from heaven. Yes, the Lord pours down his blessings. Our land will yield its bountiful harvest. Righteousness goes as a herald before him, preparing the way for his steps. Proverbs 13:7-8. Some who are poor pretend to be rich. Others who are rich pretend to be poor. The rich can pay a ransom for their lives, but the poor won't even get threatened. And that concludes our reading time for today. All right. Okay, so in our companion today, we are going to jump back to Numbers really quickly, Numbers 34:13. How did God decide which tribe was given which portion of land? Just a little bit of a review. The division of the land to the 9.5 tribes was to be done by lot in accordance with God's instructions to Moses. This procedure avoided friction and exempted Joshua from making decisions that might be unpopular and for which he could be blamed. The scriptures do not tell us precisely how lots were cast, nor do they say whether the practice was approved or disapproved by God. Lots were used in the New Testament as well as the Old Testament and were employed when important decisions were required. Proverbs 16:33 says, The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. It was supposed that God, who is sovereign, was behind the way the lot fell. There is often an interesting connection between the land a tribe received and the character of the tribe's founder. For example, because of Joseph's godly character that we see in Genesis 49, 22 through 26, the tribes descended from him, Ephraim and Manasseh, were given the richest, most fertile land in all of Canaan. Judah, who offered himself in exchange for his brother Benjamin's safety in Genesis 44, 18 through 34, received the largest portion of land, which eventually became the southern kingdom and the seat of David's dynasty. Reuben, who slept with one of his father's wives in Genesis 49, 4, was given desert land, the region described here. All right, and then in Joshua 13, 29, what is the half-tribe of Manasseh? The tribe of Manasseh was divided into two tribes. This occurred when many people from the tribe wanted to settle east of the Jordan River in an area that was especially suited for their flocks, and that was back in Numbers 32, 33. The rest of the tribe preferred to settle west of the Jordan River in the land of Canaan. All right, and then in Luke 18, 15 through 17, why did the people bring their children to Jesus? It was customary for a mother to bring her children to a rabbi for a blessing, and that is why these mothers gathered around Jesus. The disciples, however, thought the children were unworthy of the master's time, less important than whatever else he was doing. But Jesus welcomed them because little children have the kind of faith and trust needed to enter God's kingdom. All right, and we will check out the psalm over here in our study Bible. All right, Psalm 85. So the theme is from reverence to restoration. Reverence leads to forgiveness, restoring our love and joy for God. Okay, so verses 9 through 13. So talking about salvation, unfailing love and truth, righteousness and peace, truth springing up from the earth, righteousness smiles down from heaven. So those verses there. As the psalm writer cries out for God's intervention, he paints a beautiful picture of what God can do for those people who put love into action. Their lives are like heralds announcing God's arrival. This psalm illustrates how love, truth, and godly living lead to God's blessing of peace. This principle works similarly in the life of a nation or an individual. Jesus pointed out that the more we first seek God's righteousness, kingdom, and rule in our lives, the more we will see him take care of everything else. And we can see that also in the New Testament in Matthew 6. 25-33. Let's go ahead and end with our prayer today. Father, we thank you. We thank you for another day. We thank you for blessing us with life today. And we just pray that we can be encouraged and that we can share your truth with people in our lives, that we can honor you, that we can let people know what you have done for each of us. And we just pray that that can be either by our words, it can be just through our presence with people, by our actions. We just pray that we can truly keep our face toward you, toward seeking your face, Father, not towards seeking the world or any people of this world. We pray that we can seek your kingdom and your way, Father. And we just thank you for sending us Jesus to save us. And Jesus, thank you for being our Savior. We say this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that concludes our episode for today. Thank you so much for being here. I look forward to being with you in the next episode. Take care.